You out of the 17th chapter of Genesis, verses 4 through 8, the 15th chapter of Genesis, which you've already heard in your hearing, verses 4 through 6, and the supporting scripture, Acts 2 and 39. The 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning in verse 4, the Bible reads, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." The 15th chapter, verse 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Supporting scripture, the Acts of the Apostles, the 2nd chapter, verse 39. "For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Based on those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning. We are still serving a promise-keeping God. We are still serving a promise-keeping God. We are still serving this morning a promise-keeping God. Whew. We read the Bible, and we, even as we have grown, we've listened to our ancestors talk about how they've come through hard trials and tribulations and how some way the Lord always made a way. We've heard them talk about if you have faith in the power of God, that God has a way of taking the impossible and making it possible. Many of us, as children, we heard it, but we didn't quite understand exactly what they were saying. But as we've gotten older and as we've had some encounters in life ourselves, we know what it is to say, "I know the Lord will make a way." Any witnesses in the house this morning? Now we have a whole lot of folk that didn't come to church, but we're not going to worry about that this morning. Because though that you did come, you come for a reason. And we want to make sure you get what God sent for you this morning. And then what we got to do is, after we leave here, take that good news on the outside and share it with somebody. Not by any of our merits of our own, not because we are so good or we are so special. And it does not set us apart because we can go out and declare, "I came to church this morning." Some folk gone to church and they just went to church. Some people came to church and they just in here. They ain't feeling nothing, ain't hearing nothing, ain't doing nothing. And then there's somebody that didn't come looking for nothing. God is dealing with you right now, ministering to your need, letting you know that he is still God. Because there are some folk that are sort of closed in and they're sort of introverted. They don't like to really express themselves in an outward manner. But I found out that those are some of the most powerful saints that God could ever create. Because they have a mindset. They're sitting there and they're thinking and they're meditating on what God has already done, what God is doing, and even what they still need God to do. See, when you get to a place where you feel like you've already arrived, you done cut your own self short. Say, "I thank God that I'm still a work in progress, because as good as God has been to me, I still need God to do some more things in my life. As far as the Lord has brought me, and if even though I can say, look where he brought me from, I still got a long way to go." And every time you go forward, there's always going to be something behind you. But Paul said, "Forget those things that are behind and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
Now, here on the second Sunday of December, anybody want to let some of that junk go from January up until this point? There are a lot of things that you did throughout the month that you can't reach back and fix it now. You can't do anything about your yesterday, but this is the day that the Lord God has made. And you can do something about your situation today. If you're sitting in here with a closed mind, you ought to open up your mind this morning. I come to let you know that I serve a worthy God this morning. And every one of us in here can find a reason to tell God thank you. I found out that no matter what one goes through, we can always say that God is a mighty good God. One of my favorite songs this morning is, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Sometimes I just have to think about how good God has really been to me. Oh, I love him so because he continues to do great things in our lives. Last week we talked about a four-letter word that has so much power and impact in our lives. And that word is the word hope. Hope. Never lose our hope. Never lose hope in God. Never lose hope in yourself. Never lose hope in the fact that you can be better than you are right now. Then if you are in a position where you don't like where you are and it seemingly don't nobody like you, I come to tell you God loves you. Jesus died for you, so don't get caught up in the what they say or she say. Just think about what the Lord God said. God said, "Come unto me, all ye that burden and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Anybody in here tired of being tired? You ought to be. There's something that we are going through. We done went through it over and over again, and you will begin to say, "Lord, why am I still going through the same old thing?" Well, there are some things you haven't been delivered from yet. But that does not mean that you are not on the right track. See, the devil had a tendency to try to get you off the right track. And then his job is to completely stop you in your place. But I found out that as a believer, you're going to run a little while, you're going to fall, and you got to learn how to get back up. Well, I find that commercial is a funny commercial. I've fallen in, I can't get up. But you're in a bad situation if you cannot get up. I thank God that I serve God, a God that if I fall and I cannot get up, he'll hear my humble cry from where I'm laying. Anybody know what it really is to lay on the bed of affliction? And then you can say like David, "I will look up to the hills from where coming my help." My help come from the Lord. There'll be some time, don't nobody have to tell you what God can do. Look around you. You ought to be grateful that there's something that you've seen other folk go through that you don't have to go through. And then you ought to learn from something that they gone through. There's some folk that say you learn by experience, but there's some things you don't have to really personally experience. If we would be able to take some advice, if we would understand and try to do what God says to do in his word, we'll find that things would be a lot better for us. When we talked about hope last week, we also realized that without hope, with hope, you got to have faith. Because those two work in hand together. Now, the Bible requires one believer is saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that you can say to a whole mountain, "Move yonder," and that whole mountain will move. We're talking about real faith. I'm not talking about that lip service faith. I'm not talking about where you're holding on to somebody else's apron string, where you're holding on to what somebody else's case of God can do. You need to know what God can do for yourself. Oh, I thank God the mama prayed for me, but I feel even better now that I know how to pray for myself. Anybody in here ever tried praying for themselves and found out that God came to your rescue? Oh, hallelujah! See, it's a good thing that somebody took the time out to say men ought to always pray. It's a good thing to say that grandma and them prayed for me when I wasn't praying for myself. But when I found out that all I got to do is open up my own mouth. Somebody got a conversation that they want to have with God. And I want you to know that if you want everything to come to pass, you got to have faith. Well, now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. So in order for us to say that we got faith in God, we got to believe in the unseen power and the manifestation of God. Ow! I feel good right now. Yes, sir. The Bible also teaches that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Who are you here to please this morning? It doesn't matter who on earth is keeping a check of what you do. When they get ready to turn the record in, it ain't going no further than their pad. God is the one that keeps the record. God is the one that knows what you're going through. God is the one that knows the degree of the power of your faith. You see, you got to understand that faith is something that really beneficial to that man or woman that say they believe in the power of God. How can you say you believe if you don't have faith? How can you have faith if you haven't heard the word? How can you hear the word without a preacher? How can the preacher preach unless he's been sent? Then you got to know who sent him. As we talk about faith, let us go back through the pages of history this morning. Look at a man that was chosen by God to be the father of faith, who by obedience faith left the security and comfort of his own hometown, Ur. And answering a call to God, at one point this man's name was Abram, and his name got changed to Abraham. Why? Because of a promise that God made unto this man. Now, this man by the name of Abraham, if we read the Bible, it is amazing to me how even when Abraham's life starts for us, he is already 75 years old. So we see none of the younger days of Abraham. But now, when we go all the way back to the 12th chapter, the Bible says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That promise that was made to Abram when he was 75 years old, it also includes us today. In order for us to be where we are, in order for Jesus to be the Christ, and in order for everything to fall into God's own plan, it started right here with Abram. Look at this man. First of all, he was commissioned by God. Leave your homeland. Everything's all right and you're doing good, but I got something else for you to do. You leave and go. And if you go like I tell you to go, I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you many, many offsprings. Abraham did not question God. But the Bible declares, out of obedience to the word of God, Abram left and did what the Lord told him to do. Now, as we move along to chapter 15, now Abram is beginning to believe. Now, I remember that the Lord God said that I was going to be a father of many nations. But now, I'm not as young as I used to be. You ever heard folks say that my childbearing age is done past me now? And we don't have to get to 75 to realize that, do we? In our day and time, about now, we're looking at 35 and 40. If you hadn't had no children by then, you better not have them. That's what the word said. Not the word, this word. Don't get it twisted. But now, we have this man by the name of Abram. In this 15th chapter, he realizes that I know what God told me, but the Bible says, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. And Abram said, as he heard the vision, he saw the vision, the Bible said that something said, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham recognized that voice. For the Bible declared that Abram said, Lord God, will thou give me, seeing I go childless? That's almost like a reminder. God, wait a minute. Didn't you tell me that I was going to be a father of many nations? But look at me right now. I don't even have a child. And the way that it looks like my servant Elijah is going to have to be my heir. But he can't rightfully take on my name because he is not of my flesh and blood. Don't you know God knows what you're thinking? God knows what you're going through. God knows when you began to ponder and wonder, is he going to come through? Any of you ever get tired of waiting on God and get in that mess and try to fix it? Find out that you mess it up worse than it was in the first place. But if you learn how to just be patient and wait on God. You see, what we found out about Abram is he lived most of his life just trusting God. Didn't see all of these things that God had promised come to pass, but he didn't stop doing what God told him to do. That's a good key we need to remember. Then look here. It says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heavens and tell the stars if thou be able to number how many stars that you see. Abram realized that was impossible, but God let him know, so shall thy seed be. Even though Abram could not number the stars, even though at this point he is still childless, the Bible says, and he believed in the Lord. See, that's what we got to do. Is that when the situations of this old world began to get you down, you got to believe in the promise of God. God said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. So you got to believe that in your worst situation, God is still going to be right there. Jesus said, in this life, you are going to have trials and tribulation. Every day is not going to be a sunny day. But be a good cheer. Shake it off. Everything's going to be all right. Because I'm Jesus. And I've already overcome the world. That's the kind of God we're serving this morning. Now. Almost 15 years later, let us move up to chapter 17. If you walk with me, I'll run in a minute. When we get to chapter 17, the Bible says, when Abram was 90 years old, oh Lord, he's getting old now. 55 and hopping. But talking about a man 90 years old getting ready to have a baby. Tell me God don't have some power. Tell me if you began to get out of your own intellect and start believing in the spiritual power of God, then some of those things that you think you're going through, you won't be going through. Because you'll be delivered, you'll be prosperous, you will know that God is there on your side. I thank God that he is on my side this morning. The Bible says, hallelujah, Jesus. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between thee, me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Words like that, the Bible says, that Abram fell on his face. Some of us are too proud. We want to stand face to face to God. Try to tell God what he's supposed to do. Try to dictate to God who's supposed to do this and who's supposed to do that. That's not your job. There's something that only belongs to the power of God. Let's stay where we're at. The Bible says, as for me, Behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. So that's where I'm going. It's to let us know that we are part of the after these seeds. See, he promised Abram that he was going to have a child. And the Bible says, got to move over to chapter 18. Abraham and Sarah, old and well stricken in age, ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, Sarah felt like she's so old now, she can't do nothing. Sarah laughed within herself. Look at God. I got all old and wrinkled, and now he's talking about I'm going to have a baby. What in the world wrong with God? God's a joke this morning. What the Bible says. But then the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did your wife laugh? She need to watch her mouth. I'm God. I can do anything I want to do. Look what he said. To say, is anything too hard for the Lord? You can find it in the 14th verse of the 18th chapter. God is speaking. God is speaking about the situation where Sarah has laughed, because God said one thing and Sarah laughed because there was a little doubt there. But Abraham never doubted God. He believed that if God said it, I believe it. And I'm going to stand true to what I believe in. As you know the story, Isaac was born after God had took them through all of this to get an heir. To just see how much faith Abraham had in him. One day God said, take Isaac, thine only son, take him up to the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham loved God so much and was so faithful to the word of God. The Bible declared that he was getting ready to destroy his only son, and God intervened. Hold up, Abraham. Wait a minute. There's a ram in the thicket. But now I know. I know that you got a heart for the Lord. I know that you got faith in God. I know that I chose the right man to be the father of faith. Because anytime a man would give up his son to do what the Lord God has said, I stop by to tell you that God is still doing great things. Anybody know that God is still a promise-keeping God? God will do just what he said that he would do. When we look down in the word of God, old Peter was on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God began to fall on all flesh. And the Bible said Peter began to get up and declare that God is a mighty good God, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to all of them that are far off, as many as believe in the power of God. I stopped by to tell somebody that we are still serving a promise-keeping God. If God said he'd do it, he'll do it. God can do anything but fail. Anybody love the Lord this morning? Anybody know that God will? You got to have the mind to say, I love the Lord with all of my heart. I know that God is still keeping his promise unto me. God promised that he'd be a mother for the motherless, a father for the fatherless, a bridge across troubled water. God said he's a healer, he's a keeper, he's a leader and a deliverer. God said if you hold on to his unchanging hand, that everything will be all right. And I just stopped by to tell Faust Chapel that God is still the same God. God is still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is still our God. And as long as we got God in our life, there's hope for all of us. All we got to do is trust the power of God and know that God will make a way out of no way. God is still keeping his promise. A promise is something that will or can happen that is going to follow through. God is a promise keeper, and he will not never let you down. God is true to his promise this morning. All you got to do is trust in him and believe in him. Just the same way Abram believed that his name got changed to Abraham. And then just think about it. You know the story. Many of you know that Abraham lived a long, fruitful life. Didn't get to the promised land, but he got a little corner. Got a chance to visit the corner and lived a long life because he was obedient to what God told him to do. Sometimes when God speaks, and if you don't have a clear understanding, you will shun the word of God. But learn how to be patient and ask God, give me an understanding. King Solomon said, out of all of thy getting, get an understanding. And when you understand where God is coming from, you won't worry about what they're talking about. See, because if God said it, and if you believe it, all you got to do is just wait on it to come to pass. And then they'll be watching you. Saying, you know, I thought they were crazy. But I found out that they had their mind all made up to trust God. You got to trust God with your whole heart. Faith in the power of God will make a difference in your very lives. There's no sickness. There is nothing in this life that should be able to hinder you from getting closer to your God. If you have faith in him, then some of your offspring, we are offsprings. Every Jew, every Christian is an offspring of Abraham. And as descendants of Abraham, we've been promised to live a life with God. And it's so important to us to believe that in this chain of events, this is how Jesus come about. And if we say that we believe in Jesus, then that's where the key is going to come to our lives. Your faith in Jesus the Christ will make a difference to where you spend your eternity, in hell or in heaven. Can't nobody believe it for you. You got to believe it for yourself. We are still serving a promise-keeping God. He didn't stop with Abraham. He didn't stop in the Old Testament. But he is still keeping his promises today.